And the issue we're now facing into is quite clearly that if government maintain that position, we fear in the public service trade union movement that we are going to be on a direct collision course and that we will eventually end up in a dispute, which none of us want. And the difficulty, sorry, if I may finish the point, Sean, the difficulty that the government are experiencing right now is a difficulty which they put themselves into.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering about, you know, whether this, or to what extent this might be a matter of interpretation. Joe O'Toole, a former president of Congress and very long experienced general secretary of the INTO, he wrote a piece last week in the Irish Times saying, the government is lucky. The fact is that the state's highest arbiter of industrial relations, the Labour Court, took the government off the hook when it stated on the record last week, now this clearly mustn't have been in the original terms of the agreement, stated on the record that the Garda deal was within the parameters of the Lansdowne Road Agreement. That is the end of the de jure debate. Lansdowne lives. It might just be more rubbery and bouncy and flexible than we thought, but you know, we learn to live with that and the smart ones will exploit it.
Labour Court recommendation, as I understand, made no reference to the Lansdowne Road Agreement, and nor should it, because it wasn't requested to do so. So that point needs to be very clearly made. The game changer took place, and in the words of the Minister for Finance, the Minister for Finance, Michael Noonan, made it clear probably within 48 hours of the publication of the Labour Court recommendation that he felt that the Labour Court had been much more generous than they expected. Now, I don't know what that means, but what it does mean to us is that whatever happened there is much more favourable to those people who remain outside the Lansdowne Road Agreement. And at the end of the day, our members have a clear priority. SIP2 represents, and I have to correct this, we represent 70,000 members across various public services. And our members cannot be wrong by saying, listen, there has been a clear breach. We have suffered the FEMPI legislation. We are involved in negotiations and we have been involved in agreements which have basically made it very, very difficult to remain in the employment of, in the public service through an unprecedented time of economic difficulty.
Yeah, but do you accept the Minister's point at least that whatever happens, it should be done in a collective way, and whatever negotiations happen or conversations need to apply to all public servants?
I'm quite happy to answer that point. As far as we're concerned, as an affiliate of the Public Service Committee of Congress, we want the issue of pay restoration and pay progression dealt with collectively. Unfortunately, if the government maintained a position that it's okay to treat another group more favourably because they've accepted the Labour Court recommendation, well, therefore, other unions will feel that their members are also in a unique space and should be treated accordingly. This is the difficulty, and you've said it in your own programme, Sean, about 45 minutes ago, the genie is out of the bottle. The government are pretending that it's not out of the bottle. Unfortunately, we now have to deal with the circumstances that we now face. And as I have been saying this, it doesn't cost 1 cent to have dialogue on this issue. And that's the first thing that needs to be done.
And the Minister's with you on that. He's more than happy to have dialogue, as long as he doesn't have to write any more big checks.
Well, I think what the Minister's attempting to do, and a number of spokespersons who have been supporting him, I think what they've been trying to do is get into a kind of anger management programme. Our members are absolutely livid about a situation where they've endured so much, maintain public services, and government believe that they can talk the way out of this. It's not going to happen. And as you did refer earlier on, our own General President Jack O'Connor made it very clear last week, the level of temperature within the public service membership within SIP2, which goes across education, health, local authorities and voluntary groups, is absolutely
But maybe what you and Jack O'Connor should be doing, instead of whipping it up, would be to try to calm it down and say, look, you know, we have to take a broader view and listen to what people like Pascal Dunhuer are saying about the number of special needs assistance that have to be provided and other services for the public.
Be very clear about this, Sean, we are not whipping it up. The government of the day have decisions to make, and they made a decision that a certain group of public servants can be treated more favourably, or they're prepared to accept that they be treated more favourably. That in itself has not gone unnoticed, and it won't go unnoticed. And the other narrative that's been introduced into this is quite clear. Our members provide public services, and they have done so in difficult times, and wish to continue to do so. But what they will not tolerate is a propaganda campaign against them, saying it's an either you pay us or you lose public services. But you're very, very clear about this. The difficulty that government are in, they push themselves into that space.
But giving an ultimatum is whipping it up, surely.
No, I do not believe an ultimatum was actually issued.
Of course it was. Give us a date for talks by tomorrow, Thursday, or I will be having a strike ballot.
That's not an ultimatum. That is a statement.
Well, it walks like an ultimatum. It talks like an ultimatum. Surely it is an ultimatum.
Well, Sean, I believe it was a very direct and clear communication from the SIPTU organisation stating how our members feel about the situation, which, by the way, just happened to be the employees of the state, which Minister Donoghue is responsible for. He's also responsible to make sure that people are treated fairly and equally within the public service, and especially those who've made those sacrifices over the last 8 years.
In saying, Paul Bell, that what's been offered to the Gardaí, and we still don't know, by the way, if they're going to accept it or not, it mightn't be enough to keep them happy, but in saying that that is a breach of the Lansdowne Road Agreement, might you not be better off saying, well, if the Labour Court says it's within the parameters of the Lansdowne Road Agreement, that's good enough for us. We'll go down now and we'll look for something similar.
I think the issue here, Sean, is that the government have disregarded, this is what our members feel anyway, the government have actually disregarded the contribution of our membership and in some way have dismissed the contribution that has been made and believe that they can actually continue to do things as they see fit without any consequences. As I said at the beginning of this interview, the major conflict at the moment is the fact that government maintain there has been no breach of the Lansdowne Road Agreement, while the union side maintain there absolutely is.
No, but I mean, the referee in this is the Labour Court itself. And they say it's within the parameters of the Lansdowne Road Agreement.
Well, actually, Sean, the Labour Court is not the referee about breaches in relation to the Lansdowne Road Agreement or not. In fact, there's an oversight body that addresses those matters, which is representative of both the employer and indeed the union group. But at the end of the day, you are correct to say, look, members will look at this situation right across the public service. And what they're saying is, if the government can't recognise the fact that they've created an issue which they must enter into dialogue to actually resolve, and meaningful dialogue, well, then I fear that we are going to be in a position where there is going to be absolute conflict and chaos within the public service. But that is a matter for government. The other point
The ones who are going to cause it are yourselves. Is the ballot going to go ahead now, do you think?
Well, I can't say whether the ballot will go ahead or not. What I do understand is that the National Executive Council of SIPTU will meet tomorrow to consider the requests that have been made by various public sector union groups within SIPTU for an understanding that we can actually have a ballot. It is my desire that government confirm that they're prepared to enter into immediate a dialogue on the issues that are presented by the membership, arising from the Labour Court recommendation. That's the desire we have. When people are talking, at least they can move the thing forward. This informal conversation that the Minister is saying, well, this will work for me, it's not reaching the membership right across the public service. And I do expect today, when I attend a meeting in Belfast, is that we will have a clearer picture of what other union groups are saying. And I think, in fairness to yourself, on your programme, we very clearly heard that not just SIPTU, but other union groups believe that they have been shortchanged in this process. It's not desirable to have a dispute within the public service, but if that's what has to happen to move this thing on, well, then that's what has to happen.
Paul Bell, SIPTU Health Division Organiser, thank you very much indeed for joining us from our Belfast studio.